This is the Dead Set Legends podcast on the Listener app with Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Warland. Each week, they bring you the big stars in sport, discuss the NRL issues of the week and have a few laughs in between. Let's get into it.
Yeah, we haven't got Wendell Saylor today. We do have this man.
The Dead Set Legends are down a batsman today with Big Dell being ruled out for the game. With Gus and Jude desperately needing a captain to take the lead, there was no one more perfect to fill the void than former Australian cricketer, vice-captain and coach, Brad Haddin. Leadership, resilience and a win-at-all-cost mentality runs through this man's blood. So if he can't keep the guys in check today, they're officially a lost cause. Please welcome our co-host for the day, Dead Set Legend, Brad Haddin.
Yes, Brad Haddin is in the house. G'day, Hads. How are you, brother?
It's my pleasure to be here, boys. How are you going?
Oh, mate, it's great to have you here. And obviously, there's so much cricket on. It's a massive show to have you on, mate.
We do have some sad news overnight. Ashley Mallett, who is an absolute legend of Australian cricket, has passed away after a long battle with cancer. He was 76 years of age, 38 tests, 132 wickets for Australia, and he played between 68 and 80. Did you know him as a man, Hads?
Yeah, I did. And it's with a heavy heart. Ashley Mallett was one of those gentlemen in the game. And I was talking to Mark Waugh last night on the Fox cricket coverage about Ashley. He said, I used to love going to South Australia to catch up with Ashley Mallett. And I'm thinking, oh, what, your wisdom in the game? He goes, he used to take me to the trots.
Oh!
So, mate, he was just a gentleman in the game. You seen him each test match when you played at Adelaide Oval, he came in. So my heart goes out to all his family and friends.
A bit quirky, but obviously a key part of that Lily Thompson era, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's interesting, the quirky thing. And Ashley, as I said, was a gentleman in the game, but that comes with the territory. We know spinners, and they're all a bit different, but what they are is all gentlemen, and Ashley was that.
He certainly was. The Ashes are coming up, and we are rocking Test cricket again, Hads. It's going to be an absolute bumper summer with the Ashes, of course. And a guy is on 399. He's a GOAT. He's the most loved cricketer in the Australian team, and he's playing at the moment for New South Wales in the build-up to the Ashes. The GOAT, Nathan Lyon, joins us. G'day, Lino. How are you, brother?
I'm going well, boys. How are we?
Mate, we're very well. New South Wales at the moment stuck in a Shield match. How's that all going, mate? You enjoying just out there playing cricket again?
Yeah, that's probably one way to put it. Just loving being out playing some competition cricket. Not going our way at this stage, but fingers crossed. You never know. Hopefully we can come out and chase 300 today. Would be nice. So hopefully I don't have to bat though, Gus.
Yeah.
Lino, it's Hads. Mate, we all know about the Ashes, the theatre behind it. Are you surprised that Ben Stokes is coming, but all this moment was always going to happen?
No, it's just like reading the kids' book, Hads, to be honest. It was always going to come. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, it's good, though. He's coming. Like, he's one of the best players in the world. You want to compete that. So, it's going to add to the theatre of the Ashes. So, it's exciting.
Mate, last time we had Nashes out here, you retired Mo and Ali. He's too scared to come out because he destroyed his front pad. So, let's be a bit like McGrath here. Who are you going to destroy this summer?
Who's the bunny?
You've stitched me up.
Mate, you'll retire someone.
I'm not. That's always the aim, isn't it? But no, I'm not naming anyone. I've learnt my lesson.
Ben Stokes, beg your pardon.
It's a very smart answer.
Lino, what's the Australian top order going to look like? I mean, obviously, they're all gearing up at the moment. We saw some.
Aren't they scoring some runs?
Some runs. Marcus Harris was sensational yesterday with 137. What's that top order going to look like?
Pretty strong, to be honest with you, at the moment. That seems a lot of people around Australian cricket or domestic cricket really putting their hand up. Mm. So the likes of Harry batted extremely well here. I saw that obviously firsthand. But then you've got the likes of Trav Head who started the season pretty well as well. So they're probably two guys for me who are really putting their hands up for probably those two positions at the opening and number five I've got my selector's hat on, but that's out of my pay grade. So you better ask a fellow next year.
I'll tell them once you're off. Lino, not many people know, you hold one of the highest positions in Australian sport. You lead the song for the Australian cricket team. Mm. So as soon as the game's over, you're the most important person in Australia. Just tell us the story about how that job came about.
So it was, 2012, after the Boxing Day Test match against Sri Lanka. And Mike Hussey was the leader of the team song, and he told Shane Watson and myself that he was retiring in the car on the way home. And I spent that next 10 minutes trying to get Huss to change his mind. But then when I got back to the hotel, Huss called me and said, can you come up to my room? And he just said, bring a couple of beers. So yes, Huss, no worries. I'll be up there straight away type thing. And got up there and he handed me a letter and and told me that he wanted me to take over the team song, so which was probably up there with one of the proudest moments, apart from batting with you at the MCG, Hads, it's probably up there with the proudest moment of my career, to be honest.
That was a great day, wasn't it? Mate, you would have been a hero at Bay 13 if you got hold of that ball.
Yeah, I'll let you tell that story when I jump off. So you can put more mayo on it.
Hey, Lino, I just want to talk to you about the 399, that first test wicket you'll get in this Ashes series. And huge. Hopefully it's in the first test match up in Brisbane. We're still a little bit up in the air about where it's all going to be played. But, you know, you've played a long time, mate. You're much loved. What would it mean to you just to get that one extra wicket to join the 400 club?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty special, to be honest with you. Obviously, it's going to be a pretty proud moment when you look at the people who in not just Australian cricket who have reached that milestone of 400 test wickets around the world. It's a pretty amazing club. So fingers crossed I can get that one pretty nice and early. Then we can go on to something bigger and better and hopefully win this Ashes 5-0 is probably more important, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Lionel, I just want to quickly ask you about Quinton de Kock. Obviously, he made a stance during the week and it's, you know, copped a lot of criticism at various stages and he had to make an apology and things like that. Do you think sport should be used as a platform for political sort of statements at times?
To be honest, it's out of my pay grade, to be honest with you. To comment
out
on
of your pay
that,
grade.
It is, Bradley. It is. That's why you're on the water, I'm not. Knowing Quinton, obviously playing against him, he's a great guy. He's a nice guy, so... it's happened, so he's come out and made a statement. I just really hope that we get him back in, back playing cricket for South Africa sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think we're going to all learn some lessons from that. And like you say, you know, it's a big question is whether or not we just enjoy sport for sport's sake or we actually use it as a political tool. But hey, Lino, good luck today chasing that 300 down. Hopefully you can just sit back and watch it all, but cannot wait to see you bowling in the Ashes. We're doing it here. Rocking test cricket with Hads and myself and plenty of others. Look forward to catching up during the summer, brother.
Too easy, guys. Thanks for that.
I just want to play a little bit of audio, boys, of my great mate MG and his show between 6 and 7, The Rush Hour with Liam. Now, he made some outrageous claims during the week. Have a listen.
Well, we had an Origin-themed night with the grill team. My co-host back then, Gus Wallen, said, have you got a spare jumper to bring in to, you know, so I can wear it for the outside broadcast? And I said, mate, I've only got the one that I played in 91 against Wally. I said,
hold on,
the
not
one
the,
I've
got. The...
Yes, the one. That's the only one I've got.
Jersey.
It's got Gaia on the back, number 11. Yes. Still got dirt and grime all over it. And so I bought it in. I said, mate, look, it's pretty valuable. So please don't, you know. Well, I haven't got it back.
To this day. How many years ago was that, MG?
10.
10 years ago. It's been 10 years since you had that famous New South Wales jersey that has Wally Lewis's fingerprints all over it.
It makes me sad. Just don't talk. Can we not talk about
You've
it?
Got
I got it valued yesterday. I got it valued.
You got it valued?
Yeah, what it would be on the open market, what it would be worth.
How much?
No. We're looking at somewhere between 5 and 10 grand.
You know what? Let's see if we can get it back.
I'm having an intervention right here and now because you sit here proudly with MG's one and only Origin jersey and you're sniffing it at the moment. We'll put it up on the socials for people to see. But this is disgraceful. Why haven't you given this back?
Okay, do you know MG? Do you know Mark Guy? Do you know him well?
I do know
MG. He is the... He tells that many porky pies, right? He is Barry Manilow. His nose is growing as he's every time he speaks. So this is what happened. In 2009, we started the grill team in June 17. December 7 is my birthday as well as MG's birthday. So we share a birthday, same day, same year. We're exactly the same, just born on the different side of the tracks, as we used to say. He gave me that jersey because of the love he had for me. And he said, I couldn't think of a bigger fan of me and the fact that it's our birthday and you would have been there, blah, blah, blah. So he gave me that jersey. So there's no nicking. There's no stealing. And if he wants it back, as I've said to him, he has to come up with something. I'm not just giving it back.
That jersey is one of the most iconic pieces of memorabilia in Australian sport.
Yes.
When you walked in the door with that, I felt as a New South Welshman, I grew. and I don't know, he said it was going to cost between 5 and 10 grand. Yeah. MG, you're selling that jumper really short. We've just seen Tom Brady 600 touchdown.
Of course, yeah. Mike Evans gave it away and he's tried to get it back for the...
He got 60,000 US, a Bitcoin one.
As well as mate, season tickets and everything like that.
I'm uncomfortable with you having it. Hey, very uncomfortable.
So you were going to trade it back to your best mate. That's
treat it better than that.
You know what I'm saying is that MG's no Tom Brady, A. Secondly, he needs to come up with something better than what he did on his show the other day. I'll give you $400 worth of Macca's vouchers.
Angus.
That is
Angus,
not good enough.
That is disgraceful.
This is my jersey.
I'm uncomfortable.
What a terrible mate you are.
I'm going to put it on now. Have a look. I actually fill it out better than MG did. It was a bit weedy back then. During the week, I read with interest, boys, 10 former rugby league players, including ex-Great Britain scrum half Bobby Goulding, are claiming the sport has left them with brain damage and they are taking the league to court. And it just got me started in thinking about the show and you playing over 300 games, dude. You put your head where most people wouldn't put their feet. Are you going to give your brain to this brain bank? Have you done testing and what sort of conversations are you having with your family around your brain after your career?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, it's such a topical issue across all sports. And I was right in the gun, I guess, during my career and I guess post that. So I've recently, written to the Australian Sports Bank, Brain Bank, to give my consent. So I've got the forms and looking to fill them out over the next period. But basically, you're giving them consent. So posthumously, they can test your brain, go through and actually see whether there's CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Encephalopathy.
Yeah, a big name.
A big one, yeah. So basically just check if, there has been any issues and you can only test that posthumously, which is awful, but we need the research, bro, don't we? Because it's cutting across all sports.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's the research available now. We're having the issue now with Will Bukowski. He's a 23-year-old kid, unbelievable talent. We seen a little bit last summer, but he's had 13 concussions. He's out now with the concussion, and it starts to become a duty of care for maybe your parents. Like, go, hang on a minute, what long-term effect is this having? I know when we played, you didn't worry too much about it because it wasn't the research, but the research available now, it's scary. Mm.
So when MG was on the grill team, he went down to Melbourne and he got his brain tested. And just like you said with those words and stumbled that word, it's science, it's medical stuff, right? So MG said, I don't want to know anything about what you're doing. Just give me a mark out of 10 for when I leave Melbourne. What's my brain out of 10? And they said he's a 6. And he went, okay, that's not good. You know, at the time he was just in his late 40s and he goes, it's probably going to get worse. So do you ever worry about it, Hads? Did you worry about it? Was it a discussion when you were playing?
It wasn't a discussion when I was playing because you didn't have the research available. I think it came right to a head with cricket after the Phil Hughes incident. And a lot of research went into helmets, protective gear at the back of the neck. But the more research we get on this issue is the better. I know in cricket, it used to be a badge of honour. You get hit, you try to stand there and take it. But now it's a different. You've got to get tested. You've got to come off the field, go through the protocols.
Concussion sub now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, which, well, Will Bukowski, for example, he would be unselectable for a test match 5 years ago. But now with the concussion sub, if he gets hit, you can come off and you can replace him. So
Were you hit during your career?
Yep, Dale Steyn.
Do you worry? Well, one of the quickest bowlers of all time. Do you worry at all about your brain?
All the time. My wife does. All the time.
No, in all seriousness.
you do. I've had no ill effects from my time in my career getting hit. But the research available now is astonishing.
What about you, Jude?
No,
do you worry about it? Do you talk to your missus about it?
I've had all the neuropsych testing and things like that from the AFL thus far, and I'll continue to do. I think it's important to do that sort of baseline testing and continue to test that. I mean, my grandmother passed away with Alzheimer's and dementia, so, thinking that, your sporting career may contribute to things like that as well, or potentially CTE is just awful. So, I mean, there's been some terrible incidents in AFL and across the NFL, a huge class action. The NFL previously. So this is a major issue and we just need more research across the board on players and also the general public as well. We want to know the natural deterioration of brains as well.
Yeah, I think it's important from guys from our era and MG's era to get tested because we need as much information as we can. We want to make the sport, it's part of being Australian is a playing sport. We love the competitive nature that it brings, that the healthy lifestyle. But it's important for our generation to make sure we get tested and get as much information as we can because it's such a sensitive issue.
One word answer. Would you have changed anything, either of you boys, in terms of your career and where you are now with your head?
No.
Okay. Well, boys, this is an opportunity for people to write in and ask for support and help. We've actually got an opener for it now. It's getting a bit posh here. Have a listen to this.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends tackled the on-field drama. Now it's time to tackle the big off-field questions. Have you got a real-world question or moral dilemma you need help solving? Now's your time to call the Dead Set Legends judiciary as they debunk, or possibly rebunk,
down at the bunker,
the major issues affecting your life.
Yeah, wow. We're about as effective as the bunker, aren't we?
Okay, here's the question. Sam from Heathcote sent in this email. Hey, guys, I've a bit of a weird one to ask you that's been weighing on my mind. It was my first week back in the office and naturally I had no food stocked in the fridge and I didn't get time to buy lunch. I was starving, so I went to the fridge and there was this decent-looking yogurt tub. It was quite big and I was desperate, so I thought, who cares? It's a massive thing, so no one's going to notice, so I helped myself just to some. You just had a couple little dollops by the sounds of it. The next day, there was a note on the yogurt that said, to whoever ate half my yogurt tub, this vegan yogurt cost me $15. I will be asking reception for the CCTV footage, wow, of who helped themselves to my tub, and I will be approaching you for a new one. Wow. So now my dilemma is this. Do I tell my colleague I'm the one who ate it before she approaches me and embarrass me, or do I go down fighting and deny it till the day that I quit? Jude?
Well, I think you're almost like Shaggy and you say, it wasn't me. It wasn't me until it actually gets turned out. But
Deny.
But the fact that they've thrown out, we're going to go to the CCTV footage over vegan yogurt.
Obviously, vegan yogurt's quite more expensive than your normal Yoplait.
You know what I have a problem with that? Not that he took the yogurt, is we've just got out of lockdown and he's not going for a long lunch after he's at work. Why would you be going to the fridge? You'd be straight down to the waterfront, asking for a Corona on ice, seafood platter. Mate, what are you doing going for the yogurt?
In a communal
100%
underplanned. Yeah. So that's Sam from Heathcote. You want to give him a clip?
Yeah, I'm giving him a clip. Go for a long lunch. Enjoy life.
Yeah, okay.
I do want to review the CCTV footage, though. Imagine that tiptoe through and the hesitancy just about to open up the fridge. Looking around over the shoulder.
And then the look.
Did he just, spoon directly into it? He spooned it into a bowl.
Did he double dip?
Oh, that's
that's an issue. That's an issue. I have been caught on CCTV here at Triple M before,
of course, yeah.
For going around to the salespeople because we get in at like 4 o'clock in the morning, right, for brekkie. So you're wandering around, and you just grab yourself whatever's available. So
you don't tiptoe around in those hobbit people. <Yeah. laughs>
More like a mammoth.
You're not the one, Gus, that would walk around, look left and right, and pinch someone's pen off their desk as well, would you?
100%.
In here without a pen. There's always a desk out there that'll stuck like.
I don't know why there's no
few
pens ever in the
few
studio.
Mints or something.
Of course,
like that,
little packs of chippies or whatever there might be. Okay, so what
COVID
are we saying?
Of course, COVID safe.
Is he going to put his hand up and go to that person now that he knows who the person is or not?
I think he's got to own up.
He's got to man up.
The truth sets you
man
free.
Up and
the
speak
truth sets
up.
You free.
I think you call their bluff and say, get the CCTV footage. I don't think they'll go through.
Okay, beautiful. Hopefully, Sammy, that has helped you with your dilemma. If you've got another dilemma, please send it to the Dead Set Legends judiciary and we will go through it next week. More on the podcast next week. And, of course, you can listen to us live 10 till 12 on a Saturday morning on Triple M.